I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. Thank you for being here. Let's start today with some big news out of Washington. President Barack Obama's efforts to change immigration policy through executive action got a major setback. The U.S. Supreme Court split 4-4 over Obama's attempt to protect up to 5 million illegal immigrants from deportation and make them eligible for work permits. And the tie means the president's actions remain blocked. A frustrated Obama looked ahead to November and the elections.
We're going to have to make a decision about whether we are a people who tolerate the hypocrisy of a system where the workers who pick our fruit or make our beds never have the chance to get right with the law, or whether we're going to give them a chance, just like our forebears had a chance, to take responsibility and give their kids a better future.
We'll get into the nuts and bolts of the Supreme Court's decision in a couple of minutes. But first, I want to get reaction from someone directly affected by the court's decision. Maru Villapando lives in Bellingham, Washington. She's been campaigning to get rights for undocumented immigrants like herself.
Well, first, I was not surprised. I expected that that could be a possibility where they could be split and take us back to the lower court, which in reality for us means this is not going to move. On the other hand, I had a little bit of hope that they would do the right thing and would allow for the deferred actions to move ahead. So I was, at the same time as I was not surprised, I was really angry.
Right. So just tell me a little bit more about your own background. When and how did you come to the U.S.?
Well, I came to the U.S. Back in 1992. I used to go back and forth with my visa as a tourist. And then I stayed in 1994 after the implementation of NAFTA and the assassination of the official presidential candidate, Colosio. At that time, I was trying to be involved in politics and I was trying to survive. And both the combination of NAFTA and the killing of this presidential candidate made me realize that living in my country was impossible.
And that's Mexico, just to be clear.
Right. This is in Mexico. So I decided to not go back because it was impossible for me. So I've been in the country for over 20 years. And the last time I was able to see my family was precisely 20 years ago.
So what would happen if you went back to Mexico? You'd not be able to come back to the U.S.?
Well, the most likely scenario is that as I was trying to leave the country, I would be placed in detention. Regardless of me saying, hey, I'm going back to my country, I would be placed in detention. So Immigration Customs Enforcement can meet their daily quota of 34,000 people detained throughout the nation any given day. And then I would be deported and I wouldn't be allowed to come back for at least 10 years, depending on what the deportation proceeding will be.
Now, the Supreme Court tie vote today addressed DAPA, the Deferred Action for Parents of Americans and Lawful Permanent Residents. And you're eligible for DAPA, correct? Because your daughter was born here.
That's right. My daughter was born in 1997. She's a U.S. citizen. And me, along with many, many others, could have been protected from deportation proceeding. But that's not the case now.
Yeah. So how will this ruling actually affect you and your family?
Well, it takes us back to what we have been living for all these years, which for us, it means we have to know each other's location throughout the day to ensure that we haven't been detained by ICE or, you know, just contact with the police also for us equalizes deportation proceedings. So we constantly text each other to know where we are at. Also, it means we cannot travel outside the United States. It means even if somebody in my family gets sick or somebody dies, which has happened, I can't go and I need to stay in the country. So I'm pretty much stuck and not able to travel when it's necessary. But it takes us back to the same kind of fight we have been doing throughout so many years to be recognized as human beings in this country.
Obama today spoke of the hypocrisy of letting the people who pick our fruit and make our beds not having the ability to get right with the law. I suspect you know a few of those people in your activist work.
I know a lot of them. And here in Washington State, the wealth of the state is based on the agricultural industry. And that means those hands that picked our fruits and then we have really cheap products to eat every day. And it is a hypocrisy, but he can fix it. He's still the president. He's still the boss of Homeland Security and he can end deportations for now. He can call a moratorium. He can still do it.
Maru Villalpando in Bellingham, Washington. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's dig in a bit now on the Supreme Court's decision, a 4-4 tie. The court would normally have had 9 members, making a tie unlikely. But with the death of Justice Antonin Scalia in February and Republicans in the Senate refusing to vote on Obama's nominee to replace him, here we are. Muzaffer Shishti is with the Migration Policy Institute at New York University. There are a lot of acronyms in this story, DACA, DAPA. Can you spell it out for us? What are the practical implications of the court's ruling?
So the DACA was an executive action that was implemented in 2012, which affects basically young people who arrived in the country when they were younger than 16 and have lived here since then and have matriculated from high school or have a job. And they are not affected by this program. That program remains intact. This executive action would have expanded that earlier DACA program by giving it to a larger number of similarly arriving kids or kids who had arrived here before they were 16. But more importantly, it would also have given deferred action to a group of adults who are parents of U.S. citizens who had lived here for a long period of time and had met other requirements of the executive action guidelines.
A tie would likely not have happened if an Obama Supreme Court nominee had gone through the nomination process and gotten approved. Could, for example, a President Trump, who's already expressed his indignation for immigrants, just upend DACA entirely?
You could argue either way. I mean, if Justice Scalia had not passed on, it's quite likely that this would have been a 5-4 decision. So that would have been much worse an outcome for the administration than the 4-4 tie, because the 5-4 decision would have set a precedent. So in many ways, it is the second worst thing that could have happened for the Obama administration. So there's a possibility that in the future, whichever president gets elected in November, they could possibly reissue an executive action like this with slight modification, and that may be challenged. And even if it's challenged, if it lands up at the Supreme Court, by then hopefully there is a ninth justice who may be a fifth vote for upholding the president's authority to do an executive action like this.
But do you reckon that today's ruling at the Supreme Court effectively pushes this issue to the next president?
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, whichever way the Supreme Court would have ruled today, this executive action and certainly its future was going to be determined by the next administration, for the simple logic that there just wasn't enough time left in this administration to implement this program in a robust way. And since it's been blocked now, the decision will rest with the next administration, whether they want to reissue an executive action or if there's Trump presidency. We don't expect they will reissue an executive action, but there is then a possibility that they may rescind the original DACA, which has been in effect for the last 4 years.
So finally, how could this ruling today affect the presidential election, especially the mobilization of the Latino vote?
That's always the issue in electoral politics. Immigration plays a very effective role, at least recently, in our electoral politics. There are a lot of people who argue that granting DACA in 2012, potentially 1.5 million people, that energized the Latino electorate all over the country and was responsible for the significant advantage it gave the president, at least in 3 or 4 toss-up states in the country. I think Democrats will be busy beginning this afternoon to claim that this is a politically motivated decision and that we must change the politics in this country on this issue and therefore appeal to the Latino base to come up and be energized to vote. And I think that is probably going to affect at least the elections in some of the toss-up states.
Muzaffer Shishti with the Migration Policy Institute at New York University. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.